Rich Shea here with another episode of Play Board Games Better Recon. This time, we're going to talk about Stefan Feld's game Trajan from Hutch & Friends. Now, Trajan is a not very typical Stefan Feld game. It's got two six-ring circuses going on, and there's some punishment, but not as much. Mostly, the number of things you can do will make your head hurt, and that's enough pain for Stefan in this game. Looking at this format a little bit, I'm not going to be making a critique of the game. I'm not going to bother to do episodes like this, except for games that I already like. If I like the game, and I'm going to play it several times before I do this, that's a big investment. I hope, instead of a critique of the game, you'll listen to this episode and learn enough about a game to decide if it's the kind of game you'd like. Trajan's a very popular game. I'm sure it's not for everybody, but I like games like this with a lot going on and a lot of decisions to make. And I think it's great with a game like this where there's not a lot of downtime because you make small decisions, small moves one after another, and pretty soon it's your turn again. Now, another thing about this game is there isn't player combat. But there's a lot of direct confrontation in terms of races to get things done, be the first person to grab something, get the most votes in the Senate. There's a lot more competing with the other players, doing things that will make the other players' lives tougher than in some other Euro-style games. I appreciate this in this game. Nobody can ruin your whole game by making a move that destroys you, but they certainly can put a stick in your bicycle spokes and cause problems for you. Trajan is complex enough that I'm actually going to break this down into two episodes. In the first episode, I'm going to go through the game fairly lightly, and then in the second episode, I'm going to break down each of the kinds of moves a little more numerically than in the first time. Not that we won't have numbers and some odds ratios in the beginning, but some of these things actually require that you have familiarity with the others. So it'd be good to go through it all, like circle around twice anyways, and I'm just going to do this over two episodes. When you get to the second episode, you'll understand the things you need to know to deal with the complexities presented there. Let's start with the player board, because it gives you some structure for the whole game. There's an area to hold citizens you control, whom you'll assign to be either builders or soldiers during the course of the game. And then there are the six cups. This is an action selection game with some worker placement, but the way you select your action is with a Mancala-style move. You'll have two each of six different colored markers, and you have the six cups. At the beginning of the game, two markers go in each cup. On your turn, you pick up all the markers from one cup. They're virtual cups. They're not really cups. They're just marks on the board. And you put them clockwise, one per cup in sequence. When you place the last marker in a cup, the corresponding move is the move you make. Then the moves are on the inside of the circle. On the outside, there are six numbered sections. They're squared, which may or may not contain a Trajan tile. And if you manage to match the colors on the Trajan tile with the colors that are left in the tray where you make your move, they didn't have to be ones you placed there this time. They just have to be there at the end of your move selection. Then you get to cash in that Trajan tile and do what it says. And since there are six different ones, we're not going to go through that right now. So the important thing to remember is you pick up the pieces in one cup, spread them one at a time, which might involve going around the cups more than once. You could end up with all 12 of them in one cup. And then you get the last place you placed move. The game time track moves forward the number of pieces you picked up from the cup when you selected the cup to start your move. Before we go to the time track, there are some other things that are on your board. Way over in the right bottom, there's a selection for what I call corrupt votes that you can pick up without taking an actual action in the Senate. You see the fasces on it corresponds to the number four tray, which is trying to get votes for the next upcoming election. Over in the lower left, you'll see the same six movement markers that are on the hexagons in the cup area. This is where you put tokens that will let you make an extra move whenever you select a move of that type. The tokens get turned in. The hexes with plus ones on the bottom show how many of the moves you get for the tile. you can upgrade those to plus twos. On the extreme left side, you'll see five building pieces, steps, a doorway, a fountain, some roof tiles, and a window, and hexes next to them. When you take building actions, you'll end up placing markers there, and you might get a bonus move the first time you do it. Then, to the right of those, you'll see three squares with bread, flames, those are offerings, and gladiatorial armor and weapons. And underneath that are tinier green squares with the same thing. Four times during the game, you'll have to come up with the right combination of those three things to satisfy the crowd's demand, or Steffenfeld reaches out of the box and slaps you for a whole lot of points potentially, but maybe just some. And there's two different ways you can satisfy the demand, and we'll get to those later. And then the little section that we didn't talk about is where some wild chits can go to help you out by being wild versions of the green demands, the hexagonal multiple move tiles, cards, which we haven't talked about yet, or the building tiles. So that's your player area. Then if we move on to the actual game board itself, around the outside, there's a victory point track, which is where you record how much you're winning or losing by as the game goes on. There are some points that will be awarded at the end of the game, but most of the points happen during the game. So keep an eye on where you are on the track. At the upper part, there's a map of Europe divided into provinces, and as you can imagine, the numbers with laurel leaves around them represent victory point awards you can get for conquering those provinces. There are also little green squares where you can pick up forum tiles if you reconnoiter a province with your general, and we'll get to that. Moving there corresponds to the tray with the helmet on it, as indicated by the little helmet hexagon right over the words Italia. And you'll see there's also a place where a big meeple and a little meeple can go. Below that, to the left, there are three ship silhouettes on the port. And you'll see the hexagon with the sailing ship. And that's where the trade moves take place. To its right are a set of oddly shaped tile areas and the hammer symbol and another place where a meeple outline is. This is where the construction actions take place. You'll move meeples to the builder area, and then you'll deploy them onto the 20 spaces that indicate the possible building areas, scoring points and maybe getting bonuses. Immediately below that is the forum, and the double column marker corresponds to the forum move. There's three orange-brown squares that always get extra move tokens whenever the forum gets reset. And then there are four columns where other kinds of forum tiles go. They have a green back, and they're of assorted kind. Some of them are free moves, but some of them are other important things. And underneath you can see that you'll use two of these columns for two players, three for three players, and four for a four-player game. To the left of that is a picture of Trajan's Triumph Arch with six large squares. Here's where the Trajan tiles will sit, sorted by kind in randomized piles, and you'll see the Trajan move symbol is next to that. Below that, and spread across the whole rest of the board, is a track, and that's a track, where you accumulate votes by taking Senate actions. There's a large purple circle where your markers start each quarter, and you'll see the fasci symbol showing that it's a Senate move, and then there are victory points, and below that the Roman numerals represent votes that you've accumulated as you move up that track. Next to that are two yellow areas. That's where the goal of winning in the Senate, well, the goal might be to accumulate all those points as you go forward, since they're rewarded each time you advance. So if you move all the way along, it'll be a lot. There'll be two bonus tiles that are used for endgame bonus scoring. The winner of the election will get one, and the runner-up will get another. By the way, you'll also start the game with one of these, so you'll have a beginning strategy. At the very bottom, there are three tracks with brown octagons. Those represent the 2, 3, and 4-player movement point indicators. So this is the track around which you'll move based on the number of pieces you picked up to move around in your tray. Now you'll notice that there's only 21 of them in a 4-player game, and you could pick up 12 pieces and move them around in your trays, so that would mean that time goes by very, very quickly. It's probably not going to be that many usually, and of course your very first move will only be 2. Next to that you'll see something you'd really expect in a Steffenfeld game, -4, -9, and -15. You know those bread sacrifices and gladiator markers on your player board that we talked about? Well, those are the penalties that you get stuck with if you end up 1, 2, or 3 short of the requirements at the end of each quarter. How that could happen to you, we'll explain later on. At the beginning of the game, you'll randomly pick the player order and stack up the discs at the start place of the Senate to show that. And each player is going to get one bonus tile randomly drawn from the bag with the yellow side up. That's the good side, by the way. Then, 2 more bonus tiles come out and get put next to the Senate track. They show their yellow side. The winner will be either one, and the runner-up will get the second one, but only on the gray side, which will be worth less. Then the commodity cards are shuffled up. Now, just so you know quickly, there are 60 commodity cards, 5 each of 12 kinds. And the idea is to try to collect sets, mostly. You don't have to do that and get them out of your hand. But as you can imagine, it's not that easy to collect a set of commodity cards, and you're not that likely to start with a pair at the beginning of the game. But if you do, you definitely want to start thinking about those commodity cards from the get-go. Then each player is going to click it to select 3 of the Trajan tiles in player order from the top of each of the 6 stacks and put them on their slots marked 2, 4, and 6. How you select those tiles and how you place your markers at the beginning of the game will actually require a little more understanding of what they do and how you cash them in. So we'll get to that later. Obviously, you want to be the person with the most points at the end of the game. Many actions during the game will score points. But at the end of the game, which will basically consist of 4 quarters, there'll be a number of bonus points awarded. And the way you'll get them is commodity cards that you haven't played will get you a point. Workers and legionnaires that you haven't deployed will get you a point. Trajan tiles that you haven't used will still be worth a point. And construction tile sets, 3 of the same kind are 10 points, 4 of the same kind are worth 20 points instead. The bonus tiles are all explained later, and they score individually based on their requirements and how closely you match them. And that, at the end of the game, you add those points in, and the leader is the winner, of course. The game will last for 4 quarters, and each quarter is 4 times around the game track at the bottom of the board. That's 16 times around for a full game. And a round is 1 cycle of the time marker. So what happens is you rearrange your action markers, resolve the tray that it gets moved to, and then move the time marker. Then you check to see if you've accomplished a Trajan tile, and then you may perform 1 action. You don't have to, but you know what? You're never going to skip an action if you can help it, because the actions are the things that actually score the points, except for the Trajan tiles. But the Trajan tiles aren't the direct objective. They're like a bonus thing and help with formulating your strategy and focus. So the 6 actions, the seaport, the forum, the Trajan tile selection, the senate, construction, and military. Now, the construction might actually result in you getting to take a different free action. The free action tiles are triggered when you take the action they represent. You get to take it a second time, and perhaps even a third time. Now, the time marker moves around, and when it arrives at or passes the start space again, that player finishes their turn, and then you handle the game round end, which, except for every 4th round, the end of a season, you reveal a demand tile. So there'll be 3 demand tiles revealed each quarter, and at the end of the quarter, that's when you get slapped or not. There's no bonus for being able to meet the demands. You just get penalized if you can't. Everything else in the game is about getting points. That's the one thing that's about losing points. Those demand tiles go out of the game, and a new set of 3 will be generated each quarter. Now notice that you'll know about 1 at the end of the 1st round, and then 2 at the end of the 2nd, and 3 at the end of the 3rd. So you'll have some time to decide and make the moves necessary to meet the demands, if that's what you intend to do. And pretty much, you don't want to get slapped with missing all 3 for minus 15 points. Notice that what you lose is basically 4, 5, and 6 for each of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd one that you don't have. At the end of each quarter, aside from getting beat up for not meeting the demands, we also have to take care of some other things. We resolve the Senate. You count up the votes, and whoever has the most votes gets the first choice of bonus tiles on the yellow side. Second most votes gets the gray side of the remaining bonus tile. Then all the tiles are removed from the forum and discarded from the game, new tiles come out in the forum. In the provinces, it's possible that new tiles will be placed if some have been picked up, but for some reason there's no longer anybody in the province, no Romans, then a new tile will be placed there, and the Senate will get two new bonus tiles. The other thing that happens at the end of the quarter is that any of the ship tiles that were used once, which will cause them to flip to their less good gray side, get flipped back over so they're all on their colorful, high-scoring sides. Then you just start up another quarter, and you do that for four quarters, and then you have the end of the game. Now, I'll go into the details in the second show, but you have to figure that you're going to get probably on the order of 22, 24 moves in each game. I mean, it can vary a lot. I'll talk about that later. But I would estimate that unless somebody's trying to do something weird, it's going to be 21 to 28 moves in that range, and probably you should figure 22 to 24 moves to get everything done you need to do to win the game. Now, I'll go over each of the moves, more about how they work than how you score with them in this podcast, and the second one, we'll talk more about how you turn them into coherent strategies to squeeze the most points out of them, and some of the probabilities involved. The first move is the seaport action, and you're going to be taking one of these actions per turn, but remember that you'll probably get a few double actions into the game through use of the forum, but remember that you take a move in the forum and you get a tile, and then you just use that move again later, and construction, where you actually get to make your construction move, score some points, and if it's the first time you did that type of construction, you'll get a bonus move of another kind immediately. All right. So at the beginning of the game, you're going to have three commodity cards. And for a seaport action, you can get more commodity cards. Now there's going to be two discard piles with a face-up card on each. And you could take either of those face-up cards and keep them, or draw the two commodity cards face down on the top of the stack, put them in your hand, and then discard any one card out of your hand. You'd probably want to concentrate on getting the most of each kind of card. But you can also score with different kinds. Because the other kind of move that you can make is playing cards. Now you can just play one card and do nothing with it, but it's kind of pointless. You might have to because you have a yellow tile and you need to get the card out at the end of the game. But typically what you want to do is play cards that will score points based on the three ships. Now the ships have a colored side, which is maximum points scored, and a gray side, which they're flipped to the first time in each quarter somebody uses that ship. So the first ship is, for identical cards, 2, 6, 12, or 20 points for 1, 2, 3, or 4 identical cards. 20 points is the most you can get from a single seaport action, but honestly, to get 4 out of 5 identical cards, it's really, really hard. If you think about it, there's only 5 of each card in a pretty large stack of cards. Now, once it's been flipped, it switches over to 0, 1, 7, and 15 points for the same 1, 2, 3, or 4 cards. For all these ships, getting to the colored side, getting there first with that set is really what you want to do. So sometimes you might want to wait till the next quarter and then grab the move. Sometimes you can't do that or you won't want to do that because we get near the end of the game. The second ship lets you have points for pairs, 5, 10, or 15 points for 1, 2, or 3 pairs of identical cards. The pairs should be different. On the flip side, it's 1, 6, or 11 points for the 1, 2, or 3 pairs of identical cards. The last ship is getting points for different kinds of cards. One card gets you 2 points, 2 different cards, 4, 3, 6, 4, 8. In other words, there's 2 points for each different kind. On the gray side, it's 0, 1, 3, and 5. So you suffer a penalty for not getting there first, even if you have a bunch of different cards. But remember, based on your bonus tiles or bonus tiles you hope to get, you want to get those cards out of your hand onto the board in most cases. Remember, the card's worth a point at the end of the game anyways, so throwing down a single card for a single point, probably not the best use of your time. And once the ship's on the gray side, it can be used as many times as people want in that quarter. The next action is the forum action. You take any of the tiles that you want from the forum and place them face up on the correct space in your player mat. Each kind of tile has a space on the player mat. And the player mat has a green outline around the places where those tiles might go, or the wild card section that I talked about next to the number 6 is also there. So on your player mat, The small squares indicate where tiles you might pick up from the forum go. There are the three kinds of goods that the crowd want, the four kinds of wild cards, the six kinds of extra moves, and three spaces for picking up corrupt vote tiles. So when you take a forum action, you get a tile which you want to do something good with, but you don't get to do a direct point scoring action with it. The next action is the military action. Now, there's three things you can do. One, you can move one of your player tokens from your player mat to the military camp. Now it's a legionnaire and it can't really move back. The second thing you can do is move your leader. The leader can move from the military camp to an adjacent province or from one province to an adjacent province. If you move into a province that has a tile in it, you get to pick up and keep the tile. That's not the main reason for moving the military leaders around, because the third kind of move is the one that actually scores points. You move a soldier from the camp to where your general is located, and you score the number of points shown on the province. The provinces score 3, 5, 6, or 10 points, mostly based on either how remote they are or how far they are from the camp. If you're not the first person to get a legionnaire there, and you can only put one of your legionnaires in each province, and remember your general has to be there when he moves, there's a 3-point penalty for each other legionnaire that arrived ahead of you. Legionnaires won't be relocated, they stay there. The next action to talk about is the Trajan action. When you take the Trajan action, you can take any one of the six top Trajan tiles and put them on the space that has the arch. Did I tell you you have an arch? You have an arch. It'll start in the number one space. And remember, you'll get Trajan tiles in the 2, 4, and 6 spaces at the beginning. So your next Trajan tile will go in that one space, and then the arch moves clockwise to the next empty Trajan tile space, and that's where your next new Trajan tile would go. At the beginning of the game, you could only take one of each kind of Trajan tile. But once the game starts, you can pick any of the top Trajan tiles and put it where it has to go. You could be influenced by color selection, but you're more likely to be influenced by the strategy you're selecting, because different Trajan tiles, and we'll get to those later, directly or indirectly support different strategies. The next move is the Senate action. You advance your disc on the Senate track one space, immediately scoring the victory points on that space. And if somebody else is in the space, you go on top. Once you get to the end of the space, you cannot perform the action anymore. You've already maxed out on the points, and frankly, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody go all the way to 8. Could be important. It might be that getting, well, first of all, it's the last one is 8 points. That's a pretty good move. And the other thing is you might really, really, really want to get that first choice of which of the bonus tiles to pick up. It might be a lot of points for you. The next action is the construction action. There's two options. As with the military action, you can move a worker from your player mat to the worker camp on the game board. And that's where they stay till the end of the game until you take the second action, which is to relocate one of your workers from the worker camp to a construction site. If it's your first build, you can put it in any of the 20 spaces. You could even put it in one somebody else had, but you're not going to be happy with the outcome if you do that. Because what you do is, if there's a construction tile, you take the construction tile, move it to your player mat. And if it's the first of that kind of construction tile, you get to make that move immediately in addition to your ordinary move. Plus, all the construction tiles are worth victory points, which you score immediately based on the number. I believe it's 2 to 5. There's 4 of each kind. When you take second and subsequent tiles of the same kind, you do not get the bonus move. Only the first time you take one. I said you could move it into a space that's already occupied by another worker. The reason you would do that is that your second and subsequent moves all have to be placed orthogonally to one of the workers you already have on there. So it's possible you could get boxed in, or it's possible that to make a set of 3 or 4, you really need to make a long march to the tile that you need to get. And that's fine, but you only pick up a tile the first time you place a worker on there and nobody else has. Those are all the possible worker placement moves that you can make. At the end of a game round that does not end a quarter, you're going to reveal one of the demand tokens. Now there's 15 demand tokens in the game, 5 each of the 3 different kinds. But since there are 4 quarters, only 12 of them are going to be used. 3 of them are out of the game, and because they're randomly distributed, they mean it might not be 3 identical ones. The idea is you have no idea what's coming next, but you do know what the rough odds are. So at the end of each round, one of the tiles is flipped over, and at the end of the quarter, you're assessed on whether or not you've met all three of the requirements. Now, if two of the same come up, it means you have to get two of them. Now, how do you do that? Well, one way to do that is by having picked up one of the forum markers with a corresponding symbol, and those will be available, and the competition for those will be pretty fierce. The other way, but you can only meet one this way, is to have got a Trajan tile and cashed it in and put it on your player mat for the corresponding demand. So you could have up to one Trajan tile for bread, one for sacrifices, and one for games. If there are two or more of the same thing required, which is bound to happen sometime in the game, only one of them can be met with your Trajan tile, so you'll want to get the forum tile for the second and or third one if necessary. Now the other thing is that there are bonus tiles corresponding to the three demands, and there are 9 points if you have just one of the forum tiles of the corresponding kind, not the Trajan tile, left at the end of the game. You might not want to burn them all up. Remember that missing the third tile is -4 points, but having it, if it's the bonus one at the end of the game, is 9. So think about what makes sense. Get the most points, right? Now, you have to resolve the balance of power in the Senate, and the way you do that is count up the votes. There's two kinds of votes. The ones that are under your marker for the highest Senate action that you've taken, and the other are the corrupt votes that you pick up, purple markers with the fasces, from the forum or occupying provinces. You sum together the one that's under your marker in the Senate track, and any corrupt votes you have, and that's your vote total. Highest total wins and gets to be appointed consul and chooses one of the two bonus tiles, keeping it with the yellow side up. Person with the second most votes is the vice consul, takes the other bonus tile, flips it to the gray side, and keeps it face up in front of them. In case of a tie, the person who is furthest along, because you might not be at the same space due to the corrupt votes, and highest up on the Senate track, wins. The vote markers also go back at the beginning and they get stacked up fewest votes to highest votes because it's possible that nobody will take a move on the track and somebody wins the Senate with 0 votes. Okay, really unlikely. That could happen. Forum tiles that were used to meet the people's demand on your player card get thrown away. The corrupt vote Senate tiles, whether you use them or not on your player mat, also go away. You clear out the forum. The forum gets refilled. Empty spaces on the provinces, and by empty I mean there are no soldiers and no generals and no forum tile. Get a new forum tile. Then you're ready to start over again. Oh, and turn the ship tiles back to their colored side. Remove the quarter year indicator so you remember which quarter that you used, and off you go. What I didn't explain were the Trajan tiles. Why? Well, because it would have made things complicated in the beginning. So let me go through those quickly, and then we'll be done for the first part of the podcast. Then we'll come back with lots more strategy tips for the second part. There are 6 Trajan tile categories. Each one of them has 2 often different colors that you have to match to cash in the Trajan tile when you make your placement in the tray. The easiest one to understand is 9 victory points, straight up. Cash it in, get 9 victory points. The second easiest one to understand, cash it in, get 3 victory points and 2 cards off the top of the stack. Oh, and you keep both of them. It's not the same as the commodity card move. You do not have access to the face-up cards. A third one is you get 1 kind of the demand tokens that you permanently have 1 of, but you can only have 1 of each of those. So you can't have 2 Trajan tiles with bread and cash them both in. You can only have 1. The next kind is a +2 and a hexagon. You get 4 points, but you put that underneath one of the bonus move areas, one of the 6 bonus moves. And then whenever you get that bonus move by playing a forum tile in the future, it's as if you turned in 2 of them. In other words, you would take a military move, have a military forum token, and the +2 marker. So you would take your move for making the placement in the tray, you take your bonus move for the actual form tile with a helmet, and then you take 1 more move as if you'd had a second one of those tiles. Now, the form tile's discarded, but the +2 is permanent, but you cannot move it around. Once it's placed on your player mat, it stays there for the rest of the game. So pick the move that you intend to get the most of and that best supports your strategy. The next 2 tiles work pretty much the same way for the military camp and the worker camp. There's two kinds. One gives you 5 points and moves one of your citizens to the camp. The other kind gives you 2 points and moves two of your citizens to the camp. In the next episode, we're going to talk about important things like the distribution of the colors on the Trajan tiles. It's not random. And also the distributions of things like 1 and 2 workers to the military and worker camp. They're not identical. So there's a bunch of strategy affecting things for the game, but I think you have enough now to play the game, not make serious mistakes, and I think you'll understand why I like this game. Or one of the things that I admire in the game is Stefan Feld has put a fair amount of complexity into a game that's not overly long. You have to make a bunch of small, difficult decisions, so hopefully you can do them quickly. You have to develop an overall strategy and support it, but sometimes you'll just have to go outside that. And we'll talk about that in the strategy section for driving your strategy versus making sure you're not left out of points for the other kinds of moves. Thanks for listening to this episode of Recon. The next one will be out pretty quickly because I have an outline in place. I just didn't want to take up too much of your time listening at once or getting too bored. What I'd suggest you do until I come out with it is find a copy of Trajan and give the game a whirl, then come back and listen for some strategy tips and some deeper thinking after you've played the game once. That's certainly the best way to learn to play quickly, even if you're getting advice. So thanks for listening, and hope you'll hear from me again soon.